And before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come into your word now, as we look into your word, we ask that your Holy Spirit might work in our hearts. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who does not know the Holy Spirit, who does not have the Holy Spirit working in their heart, may this be the morning that they realize that. May this be the morning where that is changed, that he might indwell their heart. They might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Thank you, Father, that we can come and ask these things of you, knowing that before we call, you will answer. And while we are yet speaking, you will hear. And Father, we pray for thy Holy Spirit to work among us, that we might rightly divide your word of truth, that we need not to be workmen which are ashamed. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in this ministry. Thank you that for all that you're doing in the hearts and in the lives of each person here this morning. For we thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John 8, verse 31. John 8, verse 31. We're going to read the first six verses. Well, 31 through 36. Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed him, "If ye abide in my word, then are ye truly my disciples. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered unto him, "We are Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that committeth sin is the bondservant of sin. And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever, the Son abideth forever. If therefore the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." You and I, and every other human being who has ever lived, have at one time or another been a slave. You say, "Well, I don't remember being a slave." Well, you have been. All of us, at one time or another, were slaves to sin. Once we began to sin, we're born with a sin nature. When we are born, we have a desire built into us because of something that happened a long time ago. His name was Adam. He sinned. He brought sin into the world along with his wife, Eve. And ever since then, you and I have had a sin nature. You have the nature that your father gave you. Mothers provide the physical bodies. Fathers, when they are involved in the progeneration of the human body, they give their, not their personality, but their nature. That's why Jesus Christ did not have a physical father, because he would have had a sin nature had he had a physical father. But he did not have a physical father. He had a heavenly father. The Holy Spirit was the one who was his father. And so Jesus Christ was born without a sin nature. You and I, that's different. We all have physical fathers, earthly fathers. And so we are born with a sin nature. You say, "How can you say that? I'm a nice person." You have to teach a baby to get mad. You have to teach a baby to cry. You have to teach a little child to lie. No, you don't have to do any of those things, because that is a nature of the child. All of us, and all of us were that way. We were born with a sin nature. And so we were slaves to that nature. We had no control over it. Who did Jesus say the people's fathers were if they were liars? The devil. You are of your father, the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. And so we all had at one time or another the devil for our spiritual father, and we were guilty of sin. But Jesus came to change that. He came to make us free. He came to make us free indeed. And prior to accepting Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, there was no way that you and I could avoid being sinners. No way. We had no choice. Even when we knew there might be consequences, and all of us, we were all young at one time. We were all kids. We did some things we shouldn't have done. We did some things sometimes we wish we hadn't done. And the only reason that we didn't do some of the bad things that we thought about was because we were afraid we might get caught. Yeah. That's why we did them. We thought we could get away with it. That's why it bothers me so badly when somebody lies to me. Because they think that I'm stupider than they are. I probably am, but I wish they didn't think that. We sin because we think we can get away with it. Doesn't work that way. In our scripture passage for today, there's some lessons that we can profit by, if we will. And I want to establish some ground rules before we get started on this, okay? So rule number one is going to be this. Whatever the Bible says is absolutely true. Rule number one. Rule number two. Whatever the Bible says is absolutely true. And rule number three, pay attention to rule number one and two. Okay, so that's our ground rules. That's what we're going to do this morning. There's some things that I was taught in Bible school and seminary. One of the things that I was taught that was very important, and there was a lot of emphasis put on it, was that the pastor should never intentionally beat the sheep. Now, you folks are the sheep. And it would be wrong if I intentionally beat any of you, verbally or physically or in any manner. And so we need to make sure that we all understand that I am not picking on any one of you. It's not like I know something about you that you don't want me to know. I don't. Okay? God may, but I don't. And so I'm not picking on anyone this morning, but I need to make sure that you understand that. The shepherd, that would be me, is supposed to feed the sheep every day. He's supposed to make sure they have water, that's the Holy Spirit. The food, that's the Word of God. And so this morning, as we meet together here, I'm trusting that you will get food and water. And by the time we get to the end of the service, you're going to see some things. And you're going to have to answer some questions. And nobody answer out loud, please, okay? When we get to the questions, don't anybody answer out loud. I want you to answer internally. We're going to focus on the 36th verse of this passage in particular. So let's read that verse again. Verse 36, John 8, 36. If therefore the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The truth that this verse teaches is important. It's also very powerful. If you need, if you were a drunk before you were saved, after you were saved, you got over it. If you were an adulterer before you were saved, or a fornicator, after you were saved, you got over it. Because there's something that Jesus does. If you were a liar before you were saved, once you were saved, you got over it. If you were addicted to anything, Jesus, when he saved you, could help you get beyond that. Sometimes it takes a little passage of time. But that's one of the things he does. He frees you from being a slave to whatever it was that you were a slave to prior to being saved. Doesn't mean that you don't have a desire. But it means he gives you the power and the strength. We were talking this morning in Sunday school about power. The power of Jesus' resurrection. And that's what Paul wanted a part of, was a part of that power. And Jesus gives us that power, if we will let him. If you're saved this morning, you are set free by the Holy Spirit. Now, how do I know that? Because every one of you who has experienced salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ has experienced that in your own life. My family, before I was saved, I came from a family of alcoholics. My father was an alcoholic. My brother was an alcoholic. My sisters were alcoholics. My mother finally became an alcoholic, and I was an alcoholic. When God saved me on that November 5th, 1961, I never, ever wanted another drink, because that's what Jesus does. When he saves us, he saves us from sin. Takes it all away. If Jesus has anything to do with it, it is finished. It is done. It's a done deal. And if it isn't, then perhaps you have accepted a counterfeit salvation. That's what a lot of pastors worry about. Is it real in your life? Are you experiencing? There's a lot of wild stuff going on out there in our country right now, and some of it, they're trying to make it law. And if they do that, you're going to have to make a decision. Some things that they're wanting to make law, you will have to decide, do you do it God's way? And probably wind up as an inmate, or a criminal, or do you do it the way they want it done? And so as we begin here, as we study here this morning, I want you to understand God will give you whatever power you need to be what he wants you to be. That's a promise. That's a promise. There are some things that God says are wrong. There are some things that the Bible teaches are wrong. I'm going to name a few things. There is no such thing as a Christian drunk. Yes, there isn't. There is no such thing as a gay Christian. Because God can fix all of these things. And he will, if we really get saved, because he said some of these things to him are an abomination. Meaning he wants nothing to do with them. And so we have to understand that there are names given. People take names. My wife and I were watching some news, and they had a Christian rock band on. That's another oxymoron. There's no such thing as a Christian rock band. They may play rock, but it's not Christian. They may say all the right words, but that's not Christian. Because that is carnal. That is geared to the flesh, not the soul, not the spirit. And folks don't understand that sometimes. When we start talking about music, music's another whole area by itself that someday we're going to have to get into. But if you will watch a little three-year-old and you play a regular hymn, that three-year-old will be normal. They'll act normal. But you start playing something that's syncopated and something that's got a little bit of a beat to it, and you'll see that little three-year-old begin to dance. You'll see that that little three-year-old is being approached physically by what they're hearing. And God has said, He's spiritual. He's a spirit. That's why we talk about His Holy Spirit. God does not want us catering to the physical as much as He wants us catering to the spiritual. And so that's what we're going to need to do. There's no such thing as a gay Christian. There's no such, it's an abomination to God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19 says this. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, they are become new. People, if you're saved this morning, you're new. That has happened in your heart. Doesn't mean we won't revert back to some of the old things, but Jesus creates us new. And then it says, but all things are of God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave unto us the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19, verse 19 says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not reckoning unto them their trespasses, and having committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So if you're saved this morning, you are reconciled to God. Your sin has been forgiven. You are a new creature in Jesus Christ. You're supposed to be. Being a new creation in Christ does not exclude us from having the desires of the old flesh. We do. Each one of us here, we have desires. I like sweets. I'm a diabetic. It's not good for me. Do I eat sweets? I would be lying to you if I told you anything, but yes. Yet, there are times when I deny myself sweets because I know they're not good for me. And I want to be, I have plans for a few years down the road. I don't want to go blind. I don't want my kidneys to shut down. So I'm going to try and be a reasonable diabetic. I'm going to try and do most of what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to see the doctor regularly. I'm going to do the things that I should do most of the time. And every one of us are like that. There are times when you do things you do not, well, you know you shouldn't do. Right? We all do. But Jesus Christ died that our sin might be forgiven, that we might be a new creation in Christ. And so we are told in 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19 that we are new creations in Christ. Now, I used to, before I realized what I was doing, I used to excuse myself. Now, I know that none of you have ever used this expression. I'm only human. None of you have. I know you wouldn't. I have. And sometimes that's my excuse. Well, I'm only human. And I told to him, you know, I don't blow the horn as much at people anymore since I started trying to be like Jesus. But there are still times, Tim, I do. And then I think, well, that was really Christ-like, wasn't it? Folks, our whole purpose for being here this morning is to become more like Jesus. That's what he wants from each one of us. And if we will do that, we are going to find joy. We're going to find peace. We're going to love each other. And it's just going to change our whole life if we're trying to be like Jesus. One thing that we need to be aware of this morning is the fact that you and I, have an enemy out there. Sometimes he comes in here. But you and I have an enemy out there. His name's the devil. He does not want us to be successful for God. He wants to interrupt that. And so he knows what our hot buttons are. And every once in a while he'll push it. Ever lose your temper? Ever think a word that maybe sometimes some people actually say words that they regret afterwards. And why did that happen? Because the devil's pushing our hot buttons. Peter warned the church about this. He told them in 1 Peter 5:8-9, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom withstand steadfast in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are accomplished in your brethren who are in the world. Every one of us this morning are capable of committing any sin that can be committed. Any one of us, if we just let down the bars, if we just let the devil take control. Now, he can't possess us. We cannot be demon-possessed if we know Jesus Christ, because Jesus, the Holy Spirit's already living within us. But we can be oppressed. The devil can cause us to think things, to do things that we normally wouldn't do, because we are not concentrating on being Christ-like. We're approaching some times, folks, and it's part of the duty of the church is to warn the various members of the family. We're the family of God, and it's a duty of the shepherd to warn them, hey, there may be a wolf coming in. Paul tried to warn Timothy about what was going on. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Sound familiar, anybody? Without natural affection. That's talking about abortion. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Anybody not like you because you're a Christian? Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Peter's admonition, or Paul's admonition to Timothy, from such, turn away. Get away from them. Don't have anything to do with them. Paul was not the only apostle to warn the church about what was going on. Peter did also in 2 Peter 3:3-4, saying, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And here we are, folks, talking about the second coming of Christ. Looking for the second coming of Christ. I'm looking for him to come. I may not see his coming. My life may come to an end, and they may have to pat me in the face with a shovel, and they have, you know, after they bury me and pack the dirt down. But I believe in my lifetime, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and in most of your lifetimes too. He's promised he's coming back. As I see the times, as I see what Paul is talking about, as I see what Peter's talking about, people are joking. Oh, you one of those who think Jesus is coming back. Yeah, I am. He's coming back. Many is the church that has been disappointed, been destroyed by unfaithfulness of its pastors or of its membership. We must all work together to support one another, to help one another, be what God wants us to be. Our Sunday school lesson, this book, you know, Building Our Faith, we all need it. I need it. You need it. And that's what we want to do. We want to build our faith up so we can be strong in God. Strong in the Lord. And so Paul knew that there were problems in the church 2,000 years ago. He wrote about them. And today, 2,000 years later, seems like a long time, doesn't it? We have the same problems in the church. Nothing new under the sun. 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8 says this. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, he's writing this to Christians, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound, and ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know the commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, your setting aside. Each one of us have been set aside from the world by the Holy Spirit who has sanctified us. That you should abstain from fornication, okay? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. We are not to be involved in permissiveness. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother. There should not be any adultery within a church. That for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. I don't remember hearing many messages about permissiveness in the churches that my wife and I have attended. Yet many of those churches have gone out of business because someone in the church, a member or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or someone, member of the choir, church secretary, someone has not been faithful to the people around him. Some churches, once that happens, many churches cannot get out of it. We need to be cognizant of the fact that God made man and he made woman for the purpose of procreation. Therefore, he made all of us with an attraction to the other. It's normal. But it is to be controlled. God said, okay, I'm going to give you a wife. I'm going to give you a husband. Now you keep to yourself. Don't go afield. Don't go far afield. So we need to remember that God is the one who is ordaining our life. God is the one who is taking care of our life. The problem comes when we don't control our sin nature. I'm headed for a point. When you and I don't control our sin nature, we sin. And so at this point, I want to go ahead. We're running out of time. I want to go ahead and cut to the bottom line. Christians are not supposed to be like the world. Christians are not supposed to be like the world. They're supposed to be different. And if they're not, there's something wrong. Christians are the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Sunday school message this morning, we're working on becoming more Christ-like, and that's why we're here this morning. We are not to willfully sin, using the excuse, we're only human. We're more than that, people. We are new creations in Christ. Jesus Christ has made us new. And we are one thing more than that. And I want you to think about this morning. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So not only does God expect us to be different, but the world is going to hold you to a different standard. They're going to expect you to be better than they are. They are. They're going to expect you to be different than they are. And if you're not, you're going to say, oh, I thought that guy was a Christian. Or, oh, I thought she was a Christian. And here she is gossiping. Here she is talking about somebody behind her back. Here he is doing this or doing that. And I used to have a prison ministry down in South Texas, and I would go in, and guys would almost be lined up. Pastor, so-and-so doesn't think much because I said a bad word. People were not supposed to be like that. Suppose you were following me in traffic, and somebody pulled out in front of me, and you saw me blow my horn at him, or shake my fist at him, or communicate in the hand signs. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. What would you think? And rightly so. We're supposed to be different. We are. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And Jesus did something that the world doesn't do. Jesus loved. And we are supposed to love. I told Tim on the way out of the Sunday school room, I don't blow the horn at him anymore. But I do sometimes call him a poor jerk. My wife used to do sign language, American Sign Language, and so she would sign the word idiot. I would tell her, someday we're going to pull alongside a deaf person, and they're going to understand what you're saying. Now, I warned you before I got started, I had a point. And I'm going to go to it. I would like to propose an exercise this morning for everybody here. No one will know the answer that you give to the question that I'm going to ask, but God knows. God knows what the answer is right now, before I ever ask the question. I want to ask two questions. Question number one. If you had to name the kind of Christian that you are, what kind of name would you give to yourself? Oh, I'm a Bible-reading Christian. I'm a praying Christian. I'm a hateful Christian. I'm a bitter Christian. What kind of name would you give to yourself, knowing who you are and what your relationship is to God? Because every one of us, God looking down from heaven, Jesus Christ looking down from heaven, can give us a name. Oh, I'm an unfaithful Christian. I'm an immature Christian. What kind of name would you give to yourself that God would recognize? You. Take a minute to think about that. If you sense a spirit of discomfort, that may be the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention or to move you to possibly even repentance. Question number two. What do you plan to do about it? What do you plan to do about it? Are you an unfaithful Christian? Are you a loving Christian? Are you a caring Christian? There's all kinds of names out there, but you yourself know in your heart this morning what kind of a Christian you really are. I'm an entertainment-enjoying Christian. Do you need to spend any time with the Lord by yourself, talking to him about what kind of a name you would have to adopt? If you were to name the kind of Christian that you are, in a short name, there are times when we need other people, we need other Christians, we need brothers and sisters to come alongside because we are battling with something. And some of you may be that way this morning. And if that is the battle that you're going through, there are people here who can help. Pray with you. You don't have to tell them all the details. You don't have to tell me all the details. But if there's some way that I can help or some way that I can pray for you, that's why we're supposed to be here. What kind of a name would you give yourself before God? What kind of a Christian? We're going to close after prayer. We're going to sing a hymn. Very appropriate hymn. I Surrender All. And as we do that, if the Holy Spirit is touching your heart, if the Holy Spirit is disquieting you inside, I'll be here at the front during it's just three verses. I'll be here for the first two verses. And if you have something that I can help you with, share it with me and I'll do all I can. If somebody else, you feel somebody else can help you in the congregation, go to them afterwards or call them when you get home and let them know you need some help, that they might pray with you so that you can overcome anything that might be in your life that shouldn't be there. Father, we want to love you. We want to please you. We want to do your will. Yet, Father, you know. You know our weaknesses. You know the temptations that each one of us face day after day, week after week. And Father, you know that we're not strong. We need your Holy Spirit working in us to give us that strength. We need the power that Jesus Christ said he has to help us to be what you want us to be. And Father, if you would, we would ask that your Holy Spirit might minister to each one of us in the days to come, that we might look at our relationship to thee. And Father, if there are things that we need to change, that he would help us to make those changes. Father, may we be more Christ-like. May we be like our Savior. May we love the people you bring into our path as Jesus would love them. And Father, for all that you're going to do, we praise you and we thank you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to stand.